Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
All right. So welcome back once again, Nosa. We're now going to talk a little bit about some writer stuff, and we've got a great topic to discuss. But before we get started with that, tell us what type of software you use, what services you use when you're writing.
So I tend to use, I use a word processor. So I use Word. I just work on Microsoft Word, and I use Grammarly as an add-in, so that it's just so that I don't make too many mistakes when I'm writing. Of grammar and so on and so forth. So you can get Grammarly for free online, and then that with Word, that's what I tend to work with. I get a Grammarly Premium, which gives you more in-depth sort of checks onto your paragraphs and your sentences and whatnot. So I just write in Word, really. Yeah.
Okay, and then you just format and upload to the services. I think most of them take Word docs.
Yeah. So what I do is I write on Word, and then I download the template of Amazon. So they've got like a template for the sort of page size you want to use. So I use 9x6. So I download 9x6. It's structured with the margins and the page size and sort of the gaps and the gullies, I think it's called gullies, and everything there. It's all formatted. So you just need to really copy and paste it from my Word doc onto the template, and just format each chapter and all the different sections to make sure they all match and there's no sort of blank pages and what so. And then what I then do is then I change it to PDF. So I save it as a PDF. So that, so go on.
I was just going to say, I think like Ingram Spark, do you put yours up there for print?
I tend to, for prints, no. I only do it on KDP.
Oh, okay.
Currently, I only do it on KDP. I might look at Ingram Spark, because I don't quite understand how it works. but it's a little bit more complicated than KDP, isn't it?
They are simplifying it. I'll give them that. They've got some new elements to help build the book a little better. I went through a whole long process trying to figure it out because I write middle grade fiction, which is still more prevalent in print copy. So I've really got to up my game there. So for your book, what are you doing to market and get the word out, get your book out there?
I think this was the most, this is the one I most where I've most learned from. Obviously, previous section I mentioned about sort of the market, the target audience, and so on and so forth. What I was doing initially was using a lot of Facebook ads and stuff. What I realized is, I was using a lot of Facebook ads, and I was using a lot of, not a lot, but I was using Amazon ads as well. So I was using Facebook and Amazon, just two running at the same time. And what I found is that, you know, it's better when I sort of get out there, you know, speak to people in different forums. I've had a couple of interviews, like sort of similar to this one. With both authors as well, have done the same. But what I have now is, rather than doing my Facebook and Facebook and Amazon ads, which I've stopped completely, and now I only have a Instagram ad, which is for the promotion of the second book. So I'm literally only promoting the second book. I'm not promoting the first book at all, right? And I'm getting a lot more sales now than I did when I was promoting the first book.
So you think that people are seeing the ad, they're interested, it's book two, and then they go click on and get book one.
Yes, I think that's what is happening, yeah. I think that's what's happening. And I think the second book, obviously, you know, the Facebook cover is also good. The second book cover, I think, is better that's just my opinion. Obviously, people have different tastes, but I think it's better. And, you know, and obviously I've spoken to a lot more people and a lot more people have bought the book. So that means there's a lot more word of mouth as well. So, and I almost feel like when I'm doing my actual ad itself on Instagram, my target audience in the ad is more specific to what I believe is the target audience, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So whereas at the start of the first book, my target audience was a bit more broader because I didn't know who exactly was going to like the book, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas now my target audience is more specific. So I'm spending less money, but I'm getting more return because the less money I'm using to market it on Instagram is targeting the people who are more likely to buy it, basically.
Well, right there, that's probably a huge lesson. When a lot of people, me included, especially when you're starting, like, who's this book for? Oh, well, it's for everybody. Yeah. And it's like, no, it really isn't, because if you have an 8-year-old girl, she's not going to read the same thing as a 60-year-old guy.
No.
And somebody from Brazil is not going to be reading the very same book as somebody from China. So I think you're definitely nailed it right there. You know, you get more sales when you know your audience and you focus on getting the book and the word out to them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the main lesson learned. And you know, obviously, you know, I can look back and say, oh, I spent all this money and got little results at the start. But at the end of the day, you know, it's I've learned a lesson. And that lesson is benefiting me now and will benefit me in the future. So, right. So that's where you look at it. Yeah.
Okay. So for a topic today for us to discuss, you wanted to talk about the addition of African culture into the fantasy genre. And on the last podcast segment, we talked a little bit about that. But obviously, since you're from Nigeria and you write fantasy based on the culture of that area, that makes sense as a topic. And I love that topic because when I was talking to somebody else, I'm like, I love seeing this because personally, I love fantasy. It's my favorite genre, but I'm really tired of all the white guy Tolkien stuff. I mean, it's all the same, really. When you even George R. R. Martin maybe have some political intrigue and not so much action fantasy. But still, it all comes out kind of that same mindset. So what do you see as the state of the African culture into the fantasy genre?
I think it's only just begun. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Back in, you know, there are fantasy books, like African sort of early fantasy book written in the 70s and the 80s. But like you said, most of the popular books at the time, you know, where mainly sort of the white guy fantasy, sort of, you know, the Aragons and Jon Snows of the world.
It's like a template. It's like, you have to do this.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, obviously, the market was the way it was, you know, because of the people who were reading it, or the majority of the people were reading it at the time. Now, I think people are, you know, like with everything, people do get bored after a certain amount of time because people want a bit of variety and people want to, you know, sort of try something a little bit different. And I think, you know, in the last, would say last sort of 5-6 years, there's suddenly been a, you know, an appetite for African fantasy and Asian fantasy as well. So, because people are just like, you know, let's read, you know, something different and see how it works, whether it does combine well or if it doesn't, you know. And there's been a few books, you know, you've had Children of Blood and Bone, you had Ray Bearer, there's a, you know, and N.K. Jemisin has, you know, a few sort of books as well, though they're not African, but, you know, there's a bit of diversity there coming into the market. And, you know, there's that combined with people trying to understand what African history is before colonial times means that, you know, that element, it is going to be quite intriguing, because when you think of African history, you know, is the, a lot of the historical elements is reported after the colonial sort of colonization happened and so on and so forth. But when you think before then, you know, people want to know what it looked like. You know, it doesn't have to be a factual historical recount of what happened, but they want to picture it in a movie or in a TV show or in a book. You know, like people just want to just, there's a hunger for it. And, you know, fantasy, you know, there's fantasy, I'm interested in fantasy, you're interested in fantasy, a lot of people interested in fantasy. If you combine both together, I can't see why, you know, you won't get a market for it, because people like that sort of stuff. Right. You know, people want black fantasy, and, you know, there's a lot of black people and African people, and even white people and Asian people that want to know, want to read stuff and watch stuff based in Africa, you know, and, you know, it's interesting.
I mean, I'm one of them. You know, I mean, I'm not saying, I'm a white guy, I have to go read black fiction.
Yeah.
I just want to go read something different and interesting. Do you think, I mean, because obviously, if you've seen any of the news over here in the States, the last year or two, the upheaval between races and black and white and some of the stuff we've been having, it's almost scary, but in a way, it's good. It's getting out there. So do you think that the interest in the black culture in fantasy was, its time was now? Or do you think some of the upheaval that's going on and changes in the world help spur it a bit? Or is it just with self-publishing, you get a wider choice and more voices? What do you think the big push is?
I think it's a combination of all of these things, you know. I think it's a good point there, but it has sparked it. It has added fuel to the fire, but it's not what's ignited it. I think it just added more fuel to it. What was currently happening. Now, when you look at, like, for instance, when I started writing the book, the first book was in 2017. That was before any of this sort of racial upheaval kicked in to that element. So it is definitely not because of that I decided to write it. And when you look at other people who've written their books in the last 5 years, they've written it before any of this started. But the difference was, is that when you, if people have always written African fantasy, right? The only difference is that their work weren't getting published, or the big sort of publishing houses weren't interested in publishing it, right?
Right, right.
Because they felt like they didn't know the target audience for it, right? Because it's not very obvious what the target audience is. Right, I found that myself. Right, so they went, big publishing houses went interested, not because, I don't think it's because they thought, oh, we don't care about black people, African people. It's just they just didn't know how to market it. They mm-hmm. didn't target audiences. They were scared of it, that they were going to put a lot of money into it and not get much in return. Now, what's happened is, in the last couple of years now, is one thing has happened, which is self-publishing has become a lot more bigger than traditional, well, obviously it's not bigger than traditional publishing, but it's become a lot more of a force where people are starting to take notice of books that are well self-published, like well done and self-published, right? Where you can tell that the author or the small publishing houses spend a lot of money or a lot of effort into publishing a good book. And those books, those little books that are self-published well, look like they do well, right?
Right.
So the big publishing houses have noticed that. And they've also noticed that the appetite of the audience and the whole political sort of landscape is changing in a way where people are starting to, or readers are starting to ask for more diverse books. And then they're thinking, okay, actually, if everyone is asking for more diverse books, maybe we should give this a try, because if we don't make a move now, we may be left behind. Do you understand? So,
yeah, yeah.
Because people are beginning to understand, a lot of authors understand that if I don't get published and I think my book is good enough, I will spend my own money and have it self-published and probably end up being as successful as if I was traditionally published.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's basically where we are.
And that goes back again to the whole finding your target audience. The big publishers, you know, they've got a lot of overhead. They put a lot of risk, like you said, into a getting an author and getting a book published. And so they don't want to just sell that book to 100,000 people. They yeah. want to sell that book to 5 million people. So yeah. they have to say, well, you know, what's the common denominator? What's the biggest book? And I don't think that has always been totally accurate. I think it's just how it's been. And now, like you said, with self-publishing, you don't have to sell it to 5 million people. You can sell it to 100,000 and make a good living. And if you have several books and all 100,000 people buy it, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, and it goes right back again, like you said, you got to know your target audience. And, you know, the things, I mean, I can imagine 10, 20 years ago, if you were trying to pitch this book to a publisher, an agent, you know, okay, it's got some black culture, history, African religion and politics, and oh, we've got some sex in it. And it's like, yeah, nobody would have touched that.
No.
But it's like I said, you know, a minute ago, that sounds like a much more interesting book than, oh, I've got a Tolkien clone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's because the landscape has changed now. You know, that's the way, you know, that. But I think this wouldn't have happened if we didn't have, so, well, I wouldn't be published if it wasn't self-published, would I? You know, because I don't think I personally didn't submit the book to any sort of publishers. Because we obviously, because of the elements we had in the book, and we didn't want it to be sort of affected, sort of deviated due to any reason, you know, a big publisher saying they don't want certain elements of the book. We decided to go self-publishing, like, initially. That was just something we just decided to do right off the bat. So we didn't submit it to any publishers, you know. I don't know what the results would have been if we did, but we didn't submit to any of them. So we published it straight away using self-publishing. Now you get to a point where you're thinking, you know, there are a lot of books now out there that are either self-published or done by a really small publisher, which are also doing the same thing. And I think, and then they can then sort of come back and say, I get it's almost a case of trying to find out who likes the book. At this point, I think is people, a lot of small publishers are publishing these books to find out if there is appetite and how much appetite there is for these sort of stories, and who to market it to. And recently you have noticed is that there is a lot of smaller publishers that are connected to some of the big publishers. So I would feel like the bigger publishers, in order to fight the rise of self-publishers or self-publishing or small publishers publishing, they've kind of created their own sort of small companies dotted here and there. And it's those small companies they're using to publish these smaller books. Sort of African fantasies and stuff. I think they're using it to sort of find the target audience and do their own sort of market research in a way and kind of understand what the risk versus reward is of, right. of going in that direction.
So a question that popped in my head is, in your opinion, your thoughts, do you think that the fantasy genre is, I guess, more quickly open or accepting to something like this, and that it's going to bleed out more into other genres? Or do you think it's across the board with more acceptance of different races, different colors, different countries, different religions?
I think more books nowadays, more genres, definitely more genres are having more sort of diverse elements in them, and some a little bit more forced than others. But I am a big fan of, and I think the fantasy genre does accept having a African or, you know, sort of black influence into it, because the main reason, you know, like we discussed before, the main reason the fantasy benefits from it is with fantasy, you can create a whole new world entirely, and that world could be based in Africa. In that sense, you're not just putting two or three black characters into a European sort of world, right? You're creating an entire world which is immersive for the reader, so the person who's reading it can it's not reading a black Aragorn, for instance, or black Jon Snow, right? They're taking their imagination to Africa, right? Or to whatever fantastical new world that's different to anything they've read before, right? So it's a whole new experience, right? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a whole new
experience, you know, and you're enjoying something that's completely different. And, you know, you could like it, you may like it, you may not like it, but the point is, it's different. So it gives you that chance or that opportunity to experience something new, right? And that's where I think it makes the fantasy genre better. Now we're at the beginning stage. Now I don't know if fantasy as a genre would take it and embrace it and it will become like a staple of fantasy. I hope it does. It does look like it will be, from what I can tell. It looks like it's going to be. But I hope it does, right? I really do hope it does.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, I love the diversity. And I'm not saying diversity in the sense that, oh, it's got to be a black or a white story. I like the difference. I like all the things that are changed. And, you know, it would be – I think sci-fi probably has been a little ahead here, and not necessarily because they're using African culture or anything like that. It's just that when you write sci-fi, you're writing about people or aliens, creatures on other worlds that are completely different, different worlds, you know? I mean, that's one of the things I always, you know, people are talking about, oh, we need more of this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, well, folks, you should have been watching sci-fi all this time. I mean, we've had diversity in science fiction forever.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, so it's just, it makes me laugh a little bit because I personally don't view it as separate things, but I do realize that there hasn't been as much choice in other cultures, other thinking, like you said.
Yeah.
So I appreciate now I get more to read. Of course, the that is also, you know, the best thing and the worst thing, because now there's more to read.
But, you know, there's always, you know, there's always different ways of reading, like audiobooks or ebooks and stuff. And then there's more time, isn't it? You can always, I think people complain as there's too many sort of types of books. I mean, you should only complain if you're reading the same type of book.
Yes.
All the time. I mean, but in terms of if you're changing from one type of book to the other, then I don't think there's a lot of them. You know, there
might definitely be a good problem.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there might be 100 different types of Lord of the Ring, you know, type of story. But when you go from, you know, Lord of the Ring to A Cry to War to, you know, Game of Thrones, there isn't really, you know, a lot, you know, that are different from each other, if you know what I mean.
Right. Right. Okay.
So I do think there's never too many books, I think.
That's a good point. Good point. So Nosa, do you have any advice for new authors? What you would tell somebody who's just getting started?
I think with an author just writing a story, I think the goal, okay, the goal is to write a story, yeah. But it shouldn't just be, oh, I need to put pen to paper today. You should be asking yourself why you want to write that story, right? That should be the first question. Why you want to write that story and who would enjoy that story, you know, apart from you're the first reader of the story, right? Because you're the one writing it. So the first person, you write it for yourself, and then obviously more people who you want to also read that story. But the most important question is, one is, why are you writing that story? What the story is about, and why are you passionate about that story? And then when you're writing that, you pour in that passion, what passion you feel about it, you know, into that story or into your writing, and it will shine through. And you will find people that will enjoy, you know, what you've written, if you've written it with a lot of passion and a lot of interest. But you're not going to find that until you know why you're writing that story, you know. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to be whatever. I'm really interested, and I think a lot of others are too. What would you say for an author? Because I'm white. It's easy for me to write a character in a culture that I kind of grew up in or I know. Mm-hmm. You know, you definitely grew up in a different culture environment. So I would imagine for either one of us to write a character that is the opposite. If I was trying to write a black character, you were trying to write a white character, it might be difficult. So what would you say to an author that's trying to do that? That says, you know, I love this culture. I love the characters like you did. And I'm trying to write something like that. What would you tell them, give them advice to doing something that's not them?
Yeah, I would say be truthful to the character you're writing, right? So if I was going to write a white guy, you know, maybe I was going to write a character in the light of maybe one of the sort of a white guy I went to school with, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. Now, it's very important that when I'm writing that character, you know, I'm writing it from that person's point of view. I'm not writing it from my own point of view, right? Because my point of view may be skewed to, you know, toward the way I grew up and the way I see the world. I need to see the world from that person's point of view, right? So, like, the work you need to do is to be able to do enough research, right? And enough, you know, enough sort of speaking to, it may be speaking to people, it may be speaking to people who are similar to that person, you know, it may be watching videos or reading books, but you must be able to be able to put your own mind in that person's body and see the world through that person's eyes, right? So that when you're writing that person, writing that character, you're not making that character seem like a stereotype, but like a just a representation of, right, like a carbon cutter of whatever you believe them to be, right?
Right, and I think that's, you know, exactly what I was kind of looking for. Because if I read your book, I don't want to read, like you said, I don't want to read a black Aragorn. You know, it may be a good book, maybe a good character, yeah, but I want a different character. I want a different story. I want a different book. And I know not everybody really does want that. You know, like people that read romance, they want the same type of thing quite often. Yeah. And there's a lot of fantasy readers, but, have you read any books where you felt the characters weren't true to if it was like a black character or African culture or anything like that, that the characters weren't true to what the character actually would be like in real life?
I don't want to say, man. I think it's going to be a harsh to the audience.
It'll keep it general.
Yeah, I have. I have.
Okay.
I don't have to mention the book, do I?
Do what?
Do I have to mention the book?
No, no, no. Let's not do that because we don't need to get angry people hitting up either one of us.
I have read. I have read African fantasies where the characters have not acted in, you know, have not acted like a black person. You know, yeah, basically. Yeah.
And it's not, you know, it doesn't even really have to just be that. It's a topic that comes up. You know, I've talked to other authors, middle-aged men, saying, I'm writing about a 12-year-old girl. You know, that's probably very difficult to write for, but it's really, you know, you want to be authentic. Sorry. You want to be authentic and make the voice sound right and get the character right. And I think doing that is very difficult, which again, the diversity we're getting is nice because you can read and get, I guess, the feel a little bit more just from reading other people's books, which is definitely a benefit to doing all this. You know, there's probably some mother out there that's writing a fantasy book with a 12-year-old girl hero because she's got a 12-year-old daughter and she loosely based it off her daughter's real life.
Right, you know, yeah.
So I think self-publishing and all the diversity that's out there is beneficial for everybody. Lets us know it's really a small world.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
All right. So Nosa, this has really been great. Do you have any last words for authors?
The last word I'd say is kind of encouraging words. I think if you're an author, I think it can get quite daunting, and you will have days where you feel like, you know, you can't do it, and you know, you get sort of down. And I think everyone needs to remember that, you know, they just need to keep going. You know, don't kill yourself, but just keep going one paragraph at a time, and you know, just keep writing, and and you'll get there in the end.
Great.
That's what I have to say.
Okay, great. Well, Nosa, it's been really great talking to you. I look forward to seeing your next book come out.
No problem. Thanks very much for this interview. It's really good.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe sometime in the near future, it might be you.